broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. There's so much to talk about. I'm going to skip the recap for now. I'll get to the recap of Friday's broadcast later in the show today. I want to talk right now about a very sad event. Rest in peace, my good brother Will. That's my headline. The actual headline says Will Christensen, one of the co-founders of the Independent American Party, passed away. We would also note the other co-founder, Wayne Hill, passed away recently as well on November 2nd, 2021. We will miss these two good brethren, these two good men, who felt so strongly about the sacred cause of liberty that they gave freely of their time, money, resources, talents, etc. to the Independent American Party. They believed and felt that they were inspired to create it, to preserve the Constitution of the United States and disseminate the foundational principles of liberty. Amen to that reality check. Wow, we're so sad we lost Wayne and Will, two liberty-loving patriots, literally a month apart. And I knew them both quite well, spent time with both of them. Our prayers are with their families. I wish I had money to give them, but I don't. I really don't. I you know, you say, well, Sam, didn't you just go to Disney World? Yeah, I did, and I need to spend a little bit of time with my grandchildren. I've only taken my children to Disneyland maybe two or three times in their whole lives. It's not like I take a lot of vacations. I'm on the air 6 days a week, 2 hours a day currently. I used to be on the air 6 days a week, but it was 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday with Liberty Roundtable Live, and then it was a technology show. So I've been around for a long, 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 long time. Anyway, our prayers are with Will Christensen and Wayne Hill and their families. I pray they can do more for liberty on the other side of the veil than they can do here. All right, we also talked at the end of yesterday's show, Friday's show, will the Supreme Court overturn Roe versus Wade? A lot of people are believing the answer is yes. I pray they're right, but I'm more cynical. I don't really have that confidence. I wish they would. I hope they do. I pray they will, but I don't have a lot of confidence. 9 times out of 10, the courts don't have the integrity or the guts or the morality or whatever term you want to use to really stand for pro-life, which is the whole purpose of government, to protect life, liberty, and property. They usually will create some nuanced decision that'll create nothing but confusion, anger, lawsuits, hatred. Our prayers are for the Supreme Court justices that they can do what's right, stand for what's right, make the right decisions, and then we pray for their protection. Because we also know that even if they were to jettison Roe versus Wade entirely and declare abortion illegal in America, the truth is that then the Supreme Court justices' lives would be in danger. These liberals, these pro-death folks are so rabid crazy that I just fear for the Supreme Court justices. But our prayers are with them, I can tell you that. And our prayers are that cooler heads prevail, and our prayers are that we can stand for the sacred cause of life for everyone involved. The babies all the way up to the elderly, all the way from the Supreme Courts to the liberals to the conservatives, everybody, we pray for life, safety, stability, and peace. That's my claim. That's what I hope. Yesterday we also played Steve Voss in his incredible song, Somebody's Gonna Die Today, highlighting that oftentimes people in their righteous indignation oftentimes make the wrong moves. You know, so it starts out, this girl's gonna go get an abortion. Gotta kill her baby, take care of it. Sad tale of death. Then the next verse is, a man decides he's gotta have it in righteous indignation. He's gotta go and blow up the abortion clinic to stop the murder that they're doing. But how wrong he is he creates more murder and disaster. And how we are on a precipice of pro-death in America that has got to stop. Good for Steve Voss. His song brings forward poignant truths that ought to be considered. And we also talked about tragically and deeply upsetting. We talked about an article in USA Today. 2021 is the deadliest year on record for transgender people in the United States. And to me, that's a tragedy. Again, I'm not for the gay and lesbian agenda. I stand completely against it. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not be the guy that goes up and blows up the abortion clinic because he's got to stop them from doing their wicked deeds. Okay? I'm not for transgender. I don't believe in it. I believe it's a lie. But I also would never do any harm to the transgender people. We need to be kind and loving and teach them a better way. You can't teach them by force. You can teach them by love and kindness and example, and maybe they can see a better way. It's kind of like how if we're in a war and we have hostages or we have, soldiers. We can be so kind to them and teach them a proper way to where they go, man, all that I believed about America just isn't true. Wow, this is the land of the free. We can hold that candle out in the open. And let the light shine. We can set it on a hill and be an example. And so I wouldn't do any harm to anyone, folks. Okay? And I don't want to preach harm. I don't want to teach harm. I don't want to advocate for harm. I want to be as kind as I can, even to those who I completely disagree with. Justice Department threatens to sic the FBI on parents calling them domestic terrorists or viewing them as domestic terrorists. The U.S. Attorney General has been now threatening to treat concerned school parents like terrorists. Parents say they're not going to give up. They're going to continue fighting back. They're not going to back down. Well, I appreciate that, but man, we've got to back off the rhetoric, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to step back and say this violence cannot continue. Why is there still a debate over transgender rights? Some say. Well, that's the age-old question. Why is there a debate about gay and lesbians? Why is there a debate about all these things? I would submit to you the answer is because of a wicked society that has turned its back on God. That's why. All right? It's not because we're good, honest people in America. It's because everything is controversial when we're involved in sin. Parents can never underestimate the level of deception and manipulation that activists, government school teachers are willing to go to on issues of gender. Yeah, the largest teachers union in California got caught. A leaked audio clip documented how they're dishonestly grooming your children for all kinds of perversions, LGBT all the way through. We are seeing coaching and deliberate confusion of our young children when it comes to gender identity. Abigail Schreier is the one that listened to that leaked audio. And she's author of a book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze, Seducing Our Daughters. All right, that's what we're seeing. Exposed. California educators are engaged in a calculated and strategic effort to subvert parents and recruit middle school students to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender clubs, Abigail Schreiber warns. Leaked audio now reveals how California teachers recruit kids into gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender clubs, writes Brad Jones. Hallmark bows to the bullies behind the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda and now promotes gay and lesbian and perverted storylines. Hallmark premieres its first gay lesbian holiday movie with a gay lead couple. I did a movie review. A Christmas Tree Grows in Colorado. It's a great movie, except it promotes the gay agenda. That was hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. It was incredible in hour one. We talked with Chris Carlson about a warning. And I've given you warnings for 25 plus years. And I've taught that he who owns the media makes the rules for quite some time. And I've taught that the new media takes center stage for quite some time. We've told you our story about how we got into the media in the first place. And we've talked about the solutions. I want to highlight an exchange that I had with at first she kind of made it seem like she was a listener. Although she didn't really say she was, she made it seem like she was. And so we engaged in an email exchange that I'd like to share with all of you. I will not name her, and I will not out her for fear that I'll get sued. That's how these people roll, right? But I will highlight the exchange, and I'll give you just an indication of what kind of trouble we're really in America. With Chris Carlson, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the battle. Discussions of all things liberty. We'll talk about that coming back. The topic yesterday, and I continue on the same topic today. Speak up. We're already in trouble. Warn the people. We shall do just that.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Ladies and gentlemen, speak up. We're already in trouble. Warn the people was the topic of yesterday's first hour. It was an incredible hour with Chris Carlson. We also talked about in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true, Martin Luther King. Silence becomes cowardice when occasion demands the whole truth and acting accordingly, Gandhi. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Robert Kennedy. Now, these are people that I normally wouldn't quote, but you know what? Their quotes are right. And this is kind of goes along with the idea that I teach all the time. It's not about people. It's about principle. I'm not in a battle with Martin Luther King Jr. Based on principle, he was a bad man. Based on principle, he got money for the Communist Party. Okay, based on reality, he preached Christianity in many ways, but he lived like a womanizer. He preached peace, but yet in his wake was always violence. By their fruits shall you know them, is what I would say. But I digress. When they bring forth good ideas like I Have a Dream, that everybody is judged on the content of their character, not on their race. Amen. You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know William Wilberforce. Sadly, ladies and gentlemen, Stockholm Syndrome is live and well in America today. You say, what is that? It's when you literally learn to love your captors. It's a psychosis, if you will, where you believe when they abuse you so much, then they extend a little bit of kindness that somehow they're your friends. There's a relationship of trust. Wrongly so. Chris Carlson made the following quote to end the hour. We have a short time to influence those we love within our little sphere of influence, and all of eternity to look back on it. Let us not do or fail to do something that we would forever regret. Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I mentioned to you, as we carry on this important broadcast with the theme of speak up, we're already in trouble, warn the people. I've taught for years that he who owns the media makes the rules. And I've taught and explained for years about the new media taking center stage. I think that's really critical to understand. All right, I really do. But we've seen a new phenomenon. Well, I shouldn't even say it's a new phenomenon. I think it's a growing phenomenon. All right? And I think it's sad. But you know what? When we first got into radio, a bunch of weird things happened that I found interesting. And it was hard for me to really believe because I didn't want to be a conspiracy theorist. I didn't want to just think, oh, man. But a listener called in and talked to me and said, you know what? There's a judge who has hired me to monitor your show and give him cleft notes of the broadcast. And, you know, at first I did this diligently thinking I was, you know, vetting somebody who could do some harm to the nation and be of a great concern. But I've listened to you for quite some time now, Sam, and I'm convinced that you're true blue, that you're right, that you're just a liberty-loving truth teller. And so I want to tell you this. The judge is monitoring your show through my notes. Well, I didn't believe it. I just kind of thought, man, that can't be true. That's a conspiracy theory. I eventually met the judge, and I was confirmed that that was accurate. But the judge said, I no longer monitor your show because I know you're not a threat anymore, which was delightful news, but really shocked me to the very core. I then have had people call in and provide death threats to me over the years in radio and doing what I do for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We've literally had people call in and say, you know, if we were off the air for some reason, had a technical problem with the radio station we owned for 10 years, they'd say, we knew the IRS would get you. We knew the government would shut you down. We knew and they would say all these things. And then eventually I got attacked by the IRS, the FCC, and the USDA all at the same time. We literally were homeless with about four children, had to move into an apartment just to have a place to live. We lost the home we were living in. We lost thousands of dollars. But eventually we beat the IRS. We paid them on a monthly plan, eventually created an abatement and got money back. It's a long story, but they claimed we made money that we never made. And they said, well, I said, we never got cash. We don't have the money. I'm not debating your rules. I'm just telling you that we never had the money. They said, well, you can take all your gains in 1 year, but you can't take your losses in the same year. You got to take your losses over time. Well, based on those conflicting government IRS rules, that's what made us have to pay money that we didn't have. We never got, but we did. We complied, and we eventually filed for an abatement and won and got money back. So that's how we beat the IRS. How we beat the FCC was they put a tower, or I'm sorry, we had a fence around our tower for our radio station. And what happened was is that fence came down somehow. Part of it came down. I don't know if vandals did it. I don't know if the weather did it. But the government discovered it before we did. Well, as soon as I learned about it, we fixed it. We delivered pictures to them and showed them that it was fixed. That wasn't good enough for your government. They wanted to fine us. So they fined us $7,000, claimed we willfully violated the FCC. That was a lie, and I knew it. I didn't willfully violate anybody. I was just complying with the IRS to the best of my ability. I then tried to comply with the FCC to the best of my ability. Well, I had, through the grace of God Almighty, a well-known attorney contacted me and beat the IRS or beat the FCC for me for $700. To this day, we're dear family friends. So we beat the FCC, we beat the IRS. Now all we got is the USDA. I don't know that we really beat them, but we were trying to buy a home from someone who was about to lose their home. We saved their home from being lost. We were supposed to work out a deal where they were going to let us refinance the home. We never were able to finish that deal because the USDA kicked us out of the home. We lost a bunch of money on that one. But the only reason I say that I beat them is because, at the end of the day, we're still on our feet. At the end of the day, we did not lose our radio station. We fought hard to keep it. Why do I tell you all this story right now? Because I'm telling you that I'm providing a witness and a warning. We are in serious trouble as a nation, and I'm here to warn the people. And I'm here to provide solutions to the problem. One of the great solutions we've felt compelled to be involved in for a long time is the media. Again, he who owns the media makes the rules. The new media takes center stage. We can make a difference. But we have been attacked all along the way, but the attacks are getting worse. And we know Hillary Clinton even listens to and or has people listening to our broadcasts and our radio network and such. To make a long story short, we know that we've been monitored and attacked for a long time. And I jokingly say to the FBI, you don't need to monitor my show in secret because I make the files available for download at libertyroundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Download today. To your heart's content, we'll give you a pristine audio copy of the broadcast. I even take the step a little further and say, hey, we have a strange copyright. You'll kind of like it, by the way. You have the right to copy. That's a copyright. You have the right to copy. Please do. Spread the word. Tell the tale. Advocate for the sacred cause, will you please? Well, anyway, so from time to time, people give me attacks. In the email nowadays, in the attacks usually go like this. You're wrong on this point. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't do this. How evil you are. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a hater. And it usually is these attacks. There's not really a good way to get back to somebody. But I have an example today that I want to cover on the radio where a lady emailed me, and at first I thought she was just a listener. That's what she kind of made it seem like, but she didn't really say that. But as I dug into it, I found out, no, this lady's got a PhD. This lady's written books on these topics. And this lady works for a prestigious university. And she teaches classes on the media. And she's taking time to listen to That's Right. Liberty Roundtable Live. Why she would do that, I don't know. As far as I can tell, she's extremely liberal. She had an axe to grind from the start. I, at first, in good faith, engaged with her, only to be betrayed in the end. I will explain it to you. I will not use her name or her university, but I'll tell you the whole story in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Detroit, where the parents of the alleged Oxford High School mass shooter were arrested in the wee hours of Saturday, as police say James and Jennifer Crumbly were found in the basement of an industrial building in East Detroit. The Detroit Police Chief James White says they didn't break into the building. Somebody gave them some help.
No one else is in custody yet, but we are working an angle on one other person that may have been assisting them.
The Crumblies are now charged, though, with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the Tuesday shooting at Oxford High School north of Detroit. Their 15-year-old son, Ethan, accused of killing four students and wounding seven others with a gun his parents bought him on Black Friday. They disappeared when the charges against their son were announced, but again, they were arrested early today, and this is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
The prosecution has rested its case in the trial for actor Jussie Smollett, as two brothers testified in court this week that the former star of Empire told them to stage a phony hate crime against him while pretending to be Trump supporters. After 3 days of testimony, the prosecution rested its case last night. Smollett, who is black and gay, did claim he was attacked in Chicago in January of 2019 by two men who he said yelled racist and anti-gay remarks at him. The government's November jobs and employment report came out and left many disappointed, as the economy was shown to have added fewer jobs than expected. Economists were expecting over 550,000 new positions. The number came in at about 210,000. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh says,
"We certainly have work to do. There's no question about it. But I would say that, you know, we have to look at the whole picture, not just month-to-month snapshots."
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the date of this broadcast is Saturday, December 4th in the year of our Lord, 2021. You say, "Sam, why do you say that?" Well, you'll see as this exchange between me and this PhD professor unfolds, okay? So this lady emails me. CM is what I'm going to call her, because that's the way she signs her messages. I won't give you her name, and I won't give you the university. But she writes books. She teaches about the media. She's involved in communications, and she's at a big university. And she listens to Liberty Roundtable Live. Well, I didn't know all that at first. I just thought it was just this nice lady. And she writes in and says this. It's not very polite. It's not completely rude, but it's kind of rude. And here's what she says. Out of the blue, I get this email. Thursday night, right after I come home, I was sick and on the road, and I come home. And here's what it says. Message: your facts are wrong. Andrea Mitchell didn't say that about grieving black kids. Joy Reid did. There's no comparison between those two. Mitchell is a respected journalist on NBC. Joy Reid is a poor moderator on MSNBC. You should air a correction if you respect the truth. And I thought for a minute, what is she talking about? I wasn't even on the air last night. I didn't even do a show that day. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? What is she talking about? And so I wrote back. from Liberty Roundtable to CM. And I say this. Hi, CM. My name is Sam Bushman, and I host a show called Liberty Roundtable Live. I never said the blow you referred to. I do own and run a couple of radio networks with several hosts. Can you please let us know what host and what show? We will try to get this corrected. Thanks, Sam. CM, this well-known PhD that teaches classes on communications, writes back and says this. Thanks for responding. I stream Liberty News Radio, originating in Highland, Utah. This false claim that AM, which that means Andrea Mitchell, had asked whether white people were capable of grieving over the death of a black child was repeatedly made on this channel by the host last night. So that was Thursday night between 10 and 11 p.m. Eastern time. Last night, December 3rd. As a result, I listened for the name of the host, a regular at this time, which I find interesting. She says a regular at this time, which she knows that it's a regular. So she either looked at the schedule or she listens a lot. Don't know which. I heard Sam Bushman. Thanks, CM. So she writes back and says, hey, she doubles down and says this false claim. So then I get thinking about it and think, well, man, did I say that? How could that be? So I thought about it. And I thought, okay, I got to translate Eastern time to Mountain time, which I did. And I thought, okay, it's between 8 and 9. That is the second hour of my rebroadcast. But it's a double rebroadcast because since it's later in the evening, I'm not on the air. I do the show in the morning, right? Then it's replayed every evening. But it's a rebroadcast of a rebroadcast because it's a show that since I was out of town and I'm still sick, not doing great, got this cold, but I want to be on the air today because I love you guys and I do my best to be on the air. But I digress. So I thought a rebroadcast of a rebroadcast at that time, what would it be? So I went back and I listened to the second hour and I got the date of the show. And I went and got the show, and then I listened to the show. And so I write her back. And here's what I say this time from Liberty Roundtable to CM. Hi, CM. Yes, you are correct. This content was on my show that aired last night that was a rebroadcast of a show that originally aired on June 13th, 2020. So yes, you're right. It was me, and it was a show that I aired on June 13th, 2020. So literally 18 months ago. So it's no wonder I didn't think I said that. I didn't think I was on the air, and all those circumstances turned out that as a rebroadcast of a rebroadcast, yes, it was me. And I admit that and say, hey, you're right. Then here's the deal. Topic was brought up at the 16-minute and 30-second mark, and it's available as the second hour of my archives at my website, libertyroundtable.com. Audio of that show segment is attached for your convenience. Andrea Mitchell wonders if white people are capable of grieving in large numbers when black people are killed. William Davis was the reporter for the article that I quoted. MSNBC Andrea Mitchell anchor asked during her show on Friday, remember this is back in June 2020 now, if white people are capable in large numbers of grieving for the loss of a black child. Mitchell asked the question to author Connie Schultz, who recently wrote a column for the Northern Virginia Daily asking white people to listen in the wake of George Floyd's death. Are white people grieving Mitchell asked. Are they capable in large numbers of grieving for the loss of a black child? Or a black woman in her bed in Louisville? Because, again, a black lady in her bed in Louisville got shot, as I remember. Or is there something different this time because they witnessed 8 minutes and 40 seconds of a murder? Now, the problem with that is she makes this sound like, hey, white people never grieve. They don't care. Or is it different now because whatever? Now, you can debate whether that's opinion. You can debate whether you like that statement from Andrea Mitchell. You can debate whether you think she was tongue-in-cheek. You think she was using her incredible interviewing skills to draw out the author. Whatever you have an opinion of, that's your to that opinion, you're certainly entitled. But then I say that is the source for my statements. There's a video on the page below of the exchange. So I give her a link to this article. It's from the Daily Caller, and it's got not only the article, it's got the author, it's got the text, and it's got the video of the exchange between Andrea Mitchell and this author. So, ladies and gentlemen, I defend myself with absolute double down, quadruple down documentation, okay? And I say, if you research this interaction, there are many more sources documenting the exchange as well. Please explain what you would like me to retract or correct. Finally, would you like to come on the radio and discuss this with me? Thanks, Sam Bushman. And now I give her my phone number. Pretty definitive. I'm thinking at this point, because I don't know that she's a PhD and I don't know all this stuff about her yet. I'm thinking, wow. You know what? I gave her all the information that she needed. You would think she'd come on the radio and discuss it with me, but no. She writes me back. And so MC says now, as she writes me back, the following. Dear Sam, thanks for your response. I appreciate it. I could not imagine Andrea Mitchell saying such a thing. As her personal opinion. So I assumed without checking, and that's on me, that it had to be Joy Reid, who, sigh, could imagine making such an over-generalized accusatory statement. So I was wrong about that part. So she kind of gives me this backhanded slap apology. I couldn't imagine Andrea saying this. I thought it was Joy Reid. So she attacks Joy for the second time, really. And then she basically says, so I was wrong about that part. And then she says, however, I do not think the suite you presented was at all fair to the context. I am not sure. First, why you presented this as something Andrea Mitchell said Friday as a recent statement. The clip is from June 12th. We'll talk about it in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country, and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we're talking about this discussion between me and this professor or this PhD lady. So I tell her the source for my statements, there's a video on the page, etc. She writes back and says, you know what? I was wrong about that. I didn't really do my research. I didn't check. I just couldn't believe it. And so I challenged you on it. She said, I cannot imagine Andrea Mitchell making such a generalized statement. I thought it was Joy Reid. And so she attacked Joy Reid, and then she said it had to be Joy Reid. I was wrong about that, she says. However, I do not think the suite you presented on this was at all fair. To the context, I am not sure, first, why you presented this as something Andrea Mitchell said Friday, implying a recent statement. The clip is from June 12, 2020. It seems to me that your segment was meant to suggest this was a recent statement of her personal or editorial opinion. It was not recent in the first place, but it was part of the anguished fallout from George Floyd's George Floyd. More to the point, Mitchell did not state it as a personal or editorial opinion. It is clearly a rhetorical prompt meant to reflect and draw out the opinion of the author she was interviewing. Reporters do this all the time as a way to set the stage for hearing the opinion of the interviewee, an opinion they may or may not personally share. I think you unfairly represented this statement as the accusatory bewilderment of Andrea Mitchell, when the clip obviously shows it is not, but a reporter's rhetorical question to an interviewee, based on the interviewee writing or interviewee's writing. Your treatment takes the statement out of context or out of its original intended context and invites your audience to believe something untrue about a serious and fair journalist. You contribute to an undeserved distrust of a fair journalist by feeding your audience's willingness to believe that reporters are liberals who fault white people for all things racially charged. I think it would be honest to revisit that clip with your audience and acknowledge that Mitchell was not offering neither a personal or opinion or an editorial one, as you indicated. Okay. So basically, hey, Sam, you unfairly represented this lady, Andrea Mitchell. Your treatment takes it out of context and is unfair. You contribute to this untrust problem. I think it would be honest to revisit this. you make it sound like it was an opinion or an editorial viewpoint. You're not being fair. So then she put CM at the bottom. Now, I write back to her. Of course I do, right? But before I write back to her, I want to see if we can play this video clip from Andrea Mitchell. Because it's on the website, it's available, we might as well play it. And I don't know what you think, but I want to know what context you would put it in, first of all. Secondly, I don't believe I took it out of context. And the reason that I don't believe I took it out of context is because I never said it was Joy's opinion. Wait, Joy? No, she wasn't even involved. This PhD CM lady literally took a dump on Joy unfairly when Joy wasn't even involved in this. It was Andrea Mitchell. I was right all along. But Andrea Mitchell, I never said it was her opinion or that it wasn't her opinion. I made no statements to that whatsoever. But here's the reality of what Andrea Mitchell said in her own words, not taken out of context. Here it is.
Sharon, George Floyd's death has shaken the world, becoming a symbol for social justice and police reform in a way that no other single race issue has. In an article entitled, Shh, White People Listen, syndicated columnist Connie Schultz writes about the funeral of Tamir Rice in Cleveland back in 2014. The 12-year-old black boy was holding a toy gun when he was killed by a white police officer. She writes, I heard and saw plenty of outrage from white residents, and I had expected to see many of them at his funeral. The harder truth was that many white people didn't feel the loss of Tamir Rice in a personal way. They were sad that an innocent child had died, but from a distance. Tamir was somebody else's boy, some other community's tragedy. 6 years later, here we are, still witnessing with alarming regularity the deaths of unarmed black Americans. 6 years later, here we are as white people still struggling with how to grieve. Joining me now is Connie Schultz, a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer and a professional in residence in the journalism school, professor in residence, I should say, at the Kent State University. Connie, it's great to see you. And her new novel is Thank The you. Daughters of Erietown. Connie, I had a question when I read that. Are white people grieving? Are they capable in large numbers of grieving for the loss of a black child, a black woman in her bed in Louisville? Or is there something different this time because they witnessed 8 minutes and 46 seconds of a murder?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so she asked that question. And my supposition is, how dare her ask that question? How dare her set the stage that white people don't care when black people die? Us, those of us who are pro-life, absolutely care when anybody dies. And so I saw that question, and I realized that she's setting this up for the author. And I don't disagree with that point. She is setting it up appropriately for the author. But to set the stage like that, to give examples and act like white people didn't care because they didn't show up to the funeral. I didn't show up to the funeral because it's far away and because I wasn't invited. All right? And I don't know them personally. So I don't want to rain on their parade or show up or make a media show out of it. I just, you know, I silently grieve, and I do care, absolutely. Anyway, I digress, except to say I criticized her even asking the question and setting the stage for that. Because what you're doing is creating a divide here. You're making it sound like and baiting the author, leading the witness, if you will, basically saying white people don't care about black death, do they? And so I responded to Andrea Mitchell literally with that in mind, saying, you know what, how dare you ask that question? How dare you insult the whole white race for this? How dare you separate the races over this and kind of pour salt in the wounds? How dare you do that? That was the reference point I took about it. All right. So anyway, she basically makes it sound like that I, manipulated her opinion. We're going to get to my clip so you can see how I responded to Andrea Mitchell. How long is the clip, Cameron? It's temp, and it's in the test folder. Oh, we're still in the middle of this video. I'm sorry, I digress. Sorry, guys. All right, so she continues, though, as she lets the author respond. Oh, that was the end of it? Okay, good. All right, so we played the whole clip that's available on Daily Caller, where I got the news, and that's the exchange. And so I respond to CM, and here's what I say. the pundits on the boob tube are...
Okay, hold on. So I say, hi, CM. First, you attack as if I was not correct. So I truly appreciate your backhanded apology. Because all the while she's attacking, she's appreciating my responses, right? The reason that I'm calling it a backhanded apology is because you continue to attack even when I am proven more than right on the issue you first raise, which is, Sam, you're wrong. It wasn't Andrea, it was Joy. And how dare you get it right? Be honest. I write back and said, no, I am right. She writes, okay, I admit that one. But you're still not kind to my buddy Andrea Mitchell. Well, I'm dismayed that Andrea would even bait the author that way and ask such a question that way. Shame on Andrea Mitchell. And shame on CM for literally 18 months later attacking me for my treatment of the story. We'll play my audio in the next hour about this. But I then say, second, I didn't present this as recent at all. I told you that my original airing of the show was June 13, 2020, over 18 months ago, and I mentioned to you that it was a rebroadcast. Last night, I've been out of town and sick, so it was a rebroadcast. That's why I didn't even understand the context and didn't think I made the statements in the first place. I knew I wasn't even live on air last night, so that's why I thought that I did not make the statements. But as soon as I realized that I did, I provided you complete sourcing of my material, pointed you to the source and the video. So, but after researching and confirming, I provided more detail for you than most broadcasters would have ever provided. I provided my audio clip. I provide the source, news, article, and video so you can confirm yourself of what I spoke of. First, it was you claiming that I was not right. Please correct. Now it's that you don't like how I presented the details. You say, quote, I think it would be honest to revisit with your audience. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it would be honest to revisit that clip with your audience and acknowledge that Mitchell was not offering a personal opinion or an editorial one as you indicated she was. Again, now you pretend that you can determine her opinions and my intent. Wow, the false assertions you make are completely out of line and unwarranted. I don't know her opinions and never claimed that I did. However, since you claim to know her intent, her opinions, well, join me on air to discuss. I did invite you on air to discuss, and you have so far ignored my polite invitation. The question I'm asking you is why? How many broadcasters would give you time to present things as you think best? I wager not many. I think the most honest thing to do would be to bring you on air for a two-hour radio show. We can explain how you contacted me and what happened in this email thread. Then we can bring out the items exactly as they should have been. The most honest thing to do is to bring out all sides of the issue and to let you speak for yourself. Are you willing? Last point, I have a website, callforcivility.com. Please review it and let me know if you're willing to sign the Call for Civility pledge. We look forward to working with you. Sam Bushman, and I give my phone number again. We'll continue next hour on this incredible exchange with a PhD from a well-known university challenging my facts on your radio. Dig it? We'll do it in seconds. Hour one in the can, two coming up. God save the Republic. And God save us from these extreme liberals. Please, people.